Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Tiana Mamelik, who's going to introduce herself and give us a feeling of her experience and why we should trust her as an authority as we dive into things.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Tiana. I have been in SEO for coming on 12 years now. It's been my entire career. I actually like to call myself a search marketer. I do Google Ads as well. And I have done everything from in-house nonprofit to software companies. I used to be a demand gen manager for a really big software company. And now I do SEO and lead generation for small businesses.
What is it about the small business niche that attracts you as opposed to, because I have that similar experience too. I worked in-house for a software company as an SEO. I worked at different agencies. I've done freelance consulting, everything from HCA and having get drug tested to make minor edits on their copy to realtors and roofers. So what is it about SMBs that is attractive to you as a client?
I had trouble when posting for big, especially like the big businesses, like the software company. I would post articles that would, 20%. People cared, but they didn't really. It was like, cool, you did that. That's fun. And now, if I did an article like that for a small business and we get a 20% conversion rate, or if their ads and SEO start performing really well together, and we increase their revenue by 10K a month, which is happening for some. That's life-changing for them. So it's not just like, oh, cool, you did that. I get emails like, oh my gosh, you have, like, I just hired my next person. I just did this huge thing. I just invested in myself. I was able to take my first vacation. These are the types of comments you get from small businesses. And there's a lot of marketers out there that are really starting to get into this, especially as we get into this freelancer world. When I first started doing this, a lot of people were like, well, they're too small. They're too small. I don't need that. That's too small. And I like to work with some pretty small businesses, and I can do some pretty cool things with some pretty small budgets. And it's because it changes things for them. It's not just like, oh, this is a nice investment. It's a like business changing investment.
There is something to that appreciation. It also, does ramp up the pressure of the deliverables on the other side. How do you differentiate between providing a valuable service that's going provide some sort of outcome, an ROI on their investment of what they're electing to spend with you, versus being seen as a silver bullet that's going to cure a broken business model or wildly unrealistic expectations? My friend Michael McDougald of Right Thing Agency, like we've talked through a couple of his clients that have come and gone who had been burned by a previous partner and then had been, sold the moon, and half of the job was just mitigating their expectations. So, what's your mindset going into that of being confident in what you're going to deliver in terms of revenue results for them? How do you shape and steer that conversation appropriately? And also, on the flip side, if anybody is an SMB owner, how do you talk to them about the expectations they should have on digital marketing campaigns?
Yeah, good question. I like to lead with very, very honest opinions. And sometimes it might upset people because I am brutally honest at times. And I would say when I first started too, I took on a lot more businesses. I think as marketers, we all do this, that I was like, oh, I can definitely do this for them. And I think that's where some businesses get burned because especially as bigger marketers, when you have like $1,000 a month budget, you can do so many things. You think that the sky is the limit. And then you get a $500 to $1,000 budget and you realize like the sky is really not the limit, and your practices don't necessarily convert over the same way. So when I work with business, there are a lot of businesses I say no to. I have a pretty tried and true formula that I have started kind of not necessarily repeating, but reusing. So we actually pair SEO and ads together, and my agency only offers that. We're not doing any
Right.
web development. We'll make some landing pages for you. But I got into this because I realized that the formula I was using was working really well for specific business types. So we do a lot of boring businesses where people are already searching for them, and the formula is pretty repeatable when it comes to those service-based businesses. So I definitely do not promise the world. I am very realistic. They have to sign for 3 months. I can't promise anything, but I always say, like, you are in a prime spot that this will likely work for you based on these factors. And we do have really in-depth conversations about that. And then I do also say, honestly, like, if you're not seeing results by the third month, we, you know, re-meet, we talk about, like, do you want to continue and keep trying because we've seen some positives and maybe we're just not in the right place, or do you want to cut it at the 3 months? So I always tell them, you have to have the money to invest and be able to lose it completely, because no matter what, sometimes there are certain areas, like I have a client in, it's a Pilates client in Las Vegas right now. And I have Pilates clients in a bunch of other places and they're doing shockingly well. Vegas is busy. It is competitive. It doesn't matter if you're in Pilates, any sort of gym, anything. There's just so much noise in that area that it's much, much harder to get attention. So for them, the strategy had to be, we're actually going in a completely different direction, but it took us the first 3 months to do that. So saying to the business, honestly, like, this is not always going to work right away. And sometimes you just got to bear with me. And then also being brutally honest with them and with yourself when you get to the 3 months, like, is there actually, like, are you just taking their money or is there something you think you can do? So.
Curious on the service deliverable side, like if you're, you know, doing hard, boring work, like you're delivering precast concrete walls, so that's your service. How does that change when you are no longer just doing that in Florida, but you realize, hey, we can distribute to other cities as well, other states as well? What's your strategy for larger service scale businesses? Or are you focusing literally just on, hey, you're local, you're small, you have one service area? Is there kind of a cutoff for you personally, or is there an adaptation that you approach at those as that S starts to be a bit more of an M?
Yeah, so we do have a strategy. So as soon as you start adding more locations, we have a very specific SEO strategy that we launch. And then, like I said before, we actually pair ads with SEO. So I prefer when clients do both. And I know a lot of people say, like, ads do not help your SEO grow. If you do it properly and you do it strategically, technically ads are not directly, you know, connecting to your SEO. But if you can pay for traffic to certain pages and you can get higher and better engagement on those pages and you are looking to improve them, say you're doing a new location in a new city, you've got your, you launch your Google, I always have trouble, Google Business Profile. I hate that they named that something different, but you launch your Google Business Profile, you launch your, you know, landing page with a specific service, and then you make sure that those are attached to ads that have already been running and you kind of pre-prime them, and then you're just giving it a little bit of a boost. So you don't give it a lot of budget, but for kind of those moving into medium businesses, because I have quite a lot of businesses that I start that have 1 to 3 and then start hiring. I've now got one business that hired 8. I've been working with them for 8 years now, and they've got like 18 people on their team. So we've had to add a few different locations for them. And it's kind of a bit of a like prime the location. And then we don't always run the ads in every single area, but it works really, really well to get their GMB moving faster. Google Business Profile, and help get that like location-specific service page working better.
I think there is, I hate the word, I haven't found a replacement for it, synergy between a properly executed advertising campaign. Because we know that when Google said that they weren't paying attention to clicks, they were lying. And, you know, it is part of the fundamental SEO equation. And the court documents show that not only is it part of their understanding, but it's about a third of the metrics that they weigh, and particularly for service area businesses. So if you don't have a local area name, you're just launching, you're a Upper Cumberland notary service. Nobody knows that you exist. Nobody's searching for that, not generically. So if you want to capture that and say that that is your business, then yeah, you do need to run some ads so that people. Oh, what was that? There was a Instagram, then they Google it, and then like there's an organic follow-up component to both social ads and Google paid ads. What's been your experience in the trade-off between? Because I personally have only invested my time, attention, and focus and capability in the past on search-only ads, both through Google. I got to play around with a boat, with Boat Locker. They did boats, and so that was playing around with Instagram ads for a while. But with that mix of saying, hey, doing these ads, are you talking about doing keyword search ads or using the display network to show ads on relevant, quote, relevant websites? And or are you talking about social media placement ads on X, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok?
Yeah. So my experience with ads is only on Meta and Google. So I don't want to talk too much about like X or TikTok. I haven't done those ones before. I'd love to get into TikTok. It's definitely, it's on my radar. But when it comes to those ones, like you have to have a really good video editor. So we've been kind of we do Meta and Instagram and Facebook ads, and I love those. But it was a very, very big learning curve. I took it on, I would like to say later in my career, but about 4 years ago. So still learning the ropes in a sense. But when it comes to that, I think it really depends on like, what is the budget? And I know a lot of people, we love this question. Everybody's always like, well, you tell me what the budget is. And I find when it comes down to it for SMBs, there's so much I can do with big budgets. And there is quite a lot I can do with a little budget, but it's more about like what you actually feel comfortable spending. So if I'm going to recommend, say, like the search only ads, that's probably because they have a really low budget. If they have extremely low budget, I'd actually look at only retargeting or some form of like, between retargeting and a slight bit of search ads, because you only have so much budget. You want to get as many people as possible. I've played with display ads too. Like that's worked for certain industries. Depends on if the industry is really visual or not. Like med spas are really good for display ads because they kind of, you know, they have that beauty aspect to it. But it really comes down to budget. Because if they had a big budget, I would definitely recommend both. Pair it, you do the Meta ads and then you retarget on Google ads and then you also have the search ads going. And that is going to like absolutely just rock how much traffic you're getting.
My friend Matt Brooks from SEOteric has a view that there's a transition moment right now where there's a lot of their business that happens on their website, but they also need to take care to cultivate where they distribute and their distribution points. How do you approach that conversation of owned media, owned marketing outside of the website, as well as trying to nurture that attention and focus to ensure that the site has what it needs down the funnel and at the top of the funnel in order to be a useful tool for turning visitors into clients? But also, does your social media spread have what it needs to turn visitors into interested prospects to turn into clients?
Yeah. So this one's an interesting one because it keeps changing too. And I think that's the important thing that I have a weird feeling that not a weird feeling, but I'm pretty sure that in 10 years time, we're going to have pretty much just AI scan pages. We're not really going to have websites. We're going to have like places where we drop information that these search platforms can find. And one of the things I believe too is like SEO is platform agnostic. I have never believed SEO is a Google specific tactic. It is dependent on the platform you're using. I have actually started talking about social media SEO. This is something that I've been talking about for a while. I was just waiting for Instagram to finally get on the trend. TikTok's been doing it for a while. But people need to be talking about the same things. And when it comes to like the smaller businesses, so the businesses that really don't have as much to invest in, say, SEO, we've been focusing pretty heavy, hardcore on those service-based pages. So, I mean, the past 3 years ago, you would really, really recommend a lot of blog posts. People were still actively searching, you know, in comes AI, in comes the extreme increase in social media usage. Like younger generations are definitely, like they're searching right on Instagram. They're not even coming off anymore. So my advice is always kind of like pick your platforms, pick your poison, be super consistent, create your audiences there, and then make sure that those audiences are also being given the opportunity to get onto your email list, to get back to your website, but then have your hub really, really explain what you do. Because a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, we seem to still be leaning on this like menu style service page where it's like, these are the 5 services I offer. Highly do not recommend, obviously, for SEO. Like we want a service page for every. So when it comes to the like very small businesses, especially the ones I usually start working with, we're doing as simple as like making sure that their pages are all there and exist. And then actually explaining to them like, if you have these 5 services, that's what you should be talking about on social media, not just like, hey, here I am.
When it comes to something like that's more like e-commerce and as a small business, like, hey, you can order our stair handrails, you know, off of our site and they come in these colors. How do you approach content marketing, creating content that isn't a collection page or isn't a e-commerce page itself. How do you approach logically, like how far do you go? You know, do you dive into, hey, 13 ways to beautify your home, and then one of those, you know, number two is adding stair handrails that are customized or something like that, like basically like creating your own product placement blog posts versus getting those product placement blog posts posted elsewhere?
Yeah, so I do still do backlinking. I do still genuinely believe in backlinking. I do think you have to be very careful with how you do it now. Like the spammy ones, it can be quite, it's gotten really bad. So we tend to do like, I'll partner with a PR specialist who will get them actual like proper PR placements. But I usually follow the, so Andy Crescidina is one of my favorite, obviously, you know, hands down one of my favorites, but he has a really good, the textbook is so old now. I think it's called Content Chemistry. In that, he actually talked about how you would do collaboration posts. So when it comes to, and not all e-com businesses like doing this, I really have tucked them into this, but I think it's really important to look for supplementary style products and start writing lists based on those. Just doing what you explained with the whole like listicle of like essentially creating your own like product placement thing. It's really about, and this is the thing with SEO, the way it's moving is I think we used to always do like, what is the best content for me and my reader? And now it's really more like, what is the best content for the reader and how do you get in there? Because it's not about the company anymore. So I really like to do those collaborative posts. Like we don't expect the other business to publish the post or even say anything about it, but we always email them when we highlight them. So I work with a lot of like gifting, makeup and product, like quick buy product based businesses. So we'll do like, if you're gifting this, like these are great supplementary products to go with it. Or like, a makeup company that has everything except for like lotions, like what are the top five lotions that go well with your product? So those are the types of articles that we're really leaning into. And it's about higher quality content because, you know, those zero clicks are like taking over all of that kind of organic traffic. So it's really about like, this needs to be high quality. It needs to be super useful for people. How are we directly relating and then pulling from other people's audiences? So that's what we're doing with the collaboration posts.
All right. 100% agree with that. I have a workflow process. I call it the nexus of care. So if you are a realtor, then your nexus is the home. And off of that hub, you have home inspectors, have painters, you have landscapers on one level. Those are like the service providers. But then you also have the people who make the molding that the designer is going to use. You have the home goods designer. You know, you have the rug people, you know, who make custom rugs that would make that home more beautiful. So there's actually this huge diaspora of marketers who are really talking to the same audience, and they're not going to cross wires with a realtor. Like they're not trying to sell a home too. So if you look at it from that perspective, you have so much more gameplay and so much more potential to interact with somebody on a one-to-one basis of somebody else who's trying to market their business. And you don't have to explain to them the value of a blog post. You don't have to explain to them the value of a backlink. It's either unspoken or understood or sometimes even gauched. Like, you know, nudge, rudge, wink, wink, we're doing this thing because, you know, it's going to help you, help me, help you. But I think that a lot of SEOs just got so used to just exploiting people with like mass outreach of like, I'm going to spam every blogger that's ever blogged about this with, dear sir, /madam, I have written a guest post. Please, would you post it and give links to my client? Like, really? And I mean, you still see it on LinkedIn. Like, yesterday I got 5 new LinkedIn friends and like, hi, I'm trading guest posts. I'm like, dude, like, you're not even attached to a business. You're just like, this is just pointless. So I think there's kind of a blindness to maybe the partnership or biz dev aspect of digital marketing that can drive so much more success.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of it, a lot of people don't realize how much we can pull from, like, we are obsessed with social media. So really looking at why we are so obsessed with social media, like it is engaging, it is entertaining, it feels like we're connecting, even though we aren't. It's so funny because we're so unconnected, but we feel so connected. And if you take the parts of social media that are working so well to make us like obscenely obsessed with these platforms, how do really take some of those practices and bring them into things like SEO and really start kind of like integrating them into that tactic. So one of those things is like, can we entertain? Can we engage? Can we connect? And that's the thing, like a lot of, and I've had conversations with SEOs before, and they're always like, oh, well, you know, it's as long as we have that backlink, like that's a connection. And I always tell the businesses I work with, it's not just about the backlink, because you have to like remember people want to work with people they like, know, and trust. And SEO is great because it's this tactical, you know, way that we can get you higher up on Google. But like, we really want more people to purchase from you. So it's not just about, and I'm really kind of against that idea of like, if someone asks me like, how many keywords can you get me number one on Google? Like that is, we will not do that for you. We're really looking at like the conversions. How can we get SEO to convert for you? So if that means that not all of your keywords are number one, our focus is more on like the engagement on page, how many people are getting there. And then we do help, like I will never help anybody with social media. That's not my, you know, specialty, but we'll help a little bit with the idea that like you need to be writing these things on your social and like bring people back to your website. Like let's figure out how to start integrating these pieces. So yes, we're only SEO, but you know, pull in your other, I love working with other marketers. Like, and it's, we're so disjointed nowadays too. Like everybody's got their own agency. Everybody's working in their silos. I have clients that are like, this is my social media person. This is my like website developer. I'm like, yes, now we have a team. So I think we need to work a bit more in those teams, both on the tactics and on the content, because that content that you can create together, just like you said with the realtors, like those are the blogs people actually need and care about. And truly like that's what's going to help people. And I got into SEO because I personally believe it's like the best tactic for like what is truly going to help. Like people are searching for that at the time. Like they need that information. So we're just trying to help them get that information.
Absolutely. When I was talking to Gus Palodia over at Indeed, his biggest thing was that the superpower of an SEO is that there's an SEO component to all of these channels. And so if you can speak to the social media team and help them deliver further value, if they aren't measured just on, hey, I made a social media post and this many of those Instagram people made it to the site, if you're actively creating additional assets that they can promote, additional conversations that they can tap into, you know, if they're a good social media person, then they would be thrilled to have more organic content that they can reference. There are those that are like, oh, great, you're making more work for me. But, you know, I can't help the Charlie Browns of the world. I can only help create more effective content. So in the age of mass AI creation tools, how do you maintain the human elements, human controls, or interest levels when there's the temptation for SMB owners to be like, I don't need an SEO, I can just ask Claude. I don't need a consultant. I've got the GPT right here. It gave me a business plan.
Yeah, so I've talked to several of my industry friends, and I think we're all feeling the same kind of squeeze. And it's from both sides, too. The clients don't want to pay for you to write because Claude can write. The problem is that everybody is using the same thing and we're creating the same content. And content is getting like even social media content. Like if you look on anybody who looks on LinkedIn right now and you see this, like they are just so bad. They are so bad. And we know it's bad. And we're still using it because a lot of the times clients are like, well, now that you have AI, it has to be better. So just use that because I'd much rather that. And it's really talking people into, I do a lot of partnership-based content creation. Like I work with a lot of people who have very, very unique businesses. I do like licensed insolvency trustees, so bankruptcy partners, weird finance. Those are the type of things like I can use AI, although I do have to say the hallucinations are getting worse. So the content's actually decreasing as well. Yeah, the hallucinations got so bad. So what we do is we actually use AI to create the outline. So I take the, you know, the top three, the original way that you do the blog, we still do that. So you take the top three ranking articles, you take all of those outlines, you pop them into AI, you get a really good outline for the client. I send the outline to the client. They do the bullets of what they want to do. And then we still actually write it. There was a few months in there where we tried a lot of GPT prompts and we definitely were writing content with AI. any agency that says they weren't. We all tried it. I've just realized like none of those articles are ranking. None of them are doing very well. So we've actually gone back. We have SOPs, updated all the SOPs to do all. We bought prompts even, and we've gone 100% back. So it's just not working. People want to see mistakes. They want to see people talk. Like we want to be connecting even in this content. And no matter how much people say, like, I love those people on social media that are like, yeah, I can make the prompt so close it sounds like me. It's like, but we know. Sorry.
I'm curious what you see on the flip side. You know, there's two sides to the GPT coin. One is like the usage side, and then there is the shiny object syndrome side, I'll call it. I'm like, hey, I can get all of this audience. What am I showing up in GPT? Am I showing up in Claude? I just saw Ross Simmons point out that if you are logged in and you're not seeing your own brand, it could be because the GPT model itself by default understands that it knows who you are and is not going to show you your own stuff, because you're asking it to look at for other people. So there's so many gaps in the concept model of treating, you know, GPT like a 1 to 10 Google rank result. But that doesn't mean that people aren't out there with their GEO, AI, SEO, rainbow, unicorn bag of, look at these magical fields of results. I'm going to get you millions of results. So much traffic is just here for your taking if you buy my package of $99.99 payments of it. Like, so what I know that there is a reasonable level of, you know, understanding, like ignoring it, bad. But how do you fold it in again with proper expectations?
Yeah, so that's a lot of clients who, am I showing up on ChatGPT? And I don't know if you're seeing the same thing with your clients, but less than 10%. Some clients are like 2% on GPT. It depends on the industry. I do find too, like as business owners, we're sitting here thinking like everybody's using ChatGPT. But as business owners ourselves, and especially in the tech industry, we actually tend to be on the further end of like adoption when it comes to tech. So we're sitting here thinking everybody's using ChatGPT. And I beg to differ. I think a lot of business owners are using ChatGPT and some large corporations are starting to integrate it. But it's not like the layman is walking in and being like, oh, I'm on ChatGPT. Like that is not happening yet. We're still in the early adoption phase of that. I do always tell people like, let's prepare, but we don't need to. Like obviously AI is integrated into Google now, so we do kind of want to get into that, like, okay, people are changing the way they search. They are searching questions. We all know that. We all see it. And they're also searching these obscure questions. Like it's not just like, you know, hey, who is this person? It's like, this is for a counseling practice that I work with, but someone would actually search something like, I am a female looking for another female counselor who specializes in postpartum depression and also, you know, went to this school and lives in this city. Like these are things that we're actually starting to think of. So to connect the dots, because I don't think it needs to be an immediate change, but to start connecting those dots for AI, we make sure that the website is talking about the things that people could potentially search for. So your about page, people used to, I don't know why we sleep on these things, but like for a long time, or that author page that your blog automatically creates, like those are places where you can put like all of the certifications you've ever had, special training. If you've talked on podcasts about specific things, you've been the expert in like speaking topics for, you know, off-site things. Put them in these places so that when those searches do come up, you are starting to connect the dots. But I agree with you. I think that the AI whole idea is a very shiny object. I'll get a client who's like, oh my gosh, someone found me on AI. And it's like, that's really cool. You get 40 leads a month. One of them was from AI. And that was 1 month out of the last six. So let's look at this logically. We're just getting really excited about this one thing. And it's not producing the type of results that the conversation is currently making it look like it is.
I agree. I just interviewed Alejandro Meyerhans of Get Me Links and had this kind of dive of, you know, alpha kids are saying that's AI as shorthand for that's not trustworthy. And at the same time, we can look to how hard Google worked to train us to use the keyword model to find data, which was brilliant on their behalf because that was the limitation and the capability of the system. But the LLM-based system isn't limited like that. You're going to get poor returns if you put in one or two words into your GPT, into Claude. You, by design, it's meant to be far more expansive and responsive to, that niche focus and capability. And the one-to-one nature of it too is totally different from, it's giving you a generated response and you can accept or reject or requery. That's a total different process than, a RAG retrieval system of, well, for this query, this is most likely related, correctly related to what I'm actually looking for. Then these are the most relevant document slash pages to that. Those are two totally different search outcome and ecosystems. I think there's a lot of work that SEOs have to start doing to look at, did I actually communicate the value of this business appropriately at the bottom of the funnel? Did I talk about how it compares to these two? Can I overcome the objection of their team so that I can mention another person's brand in a not disparaging, but in a comparative way? Because that's necessary. And at some points in marketing, that was a big no-no. You couldn't do that, but you must now. And you must now, you're not selling sneakers. Or you're not selling, you're not selling sneakers. You're selling men's activewear for hot climate conditions if you have, sensitivity to wheat or, or you have a leather allergy. Like that's what the product actually really has been all along, but you had condensed it down to men's footwear for the keyword research side of things because that's how Google classified search volume. That wasn't truly how people thought about things. It's just the representation of the concept of search was represented by these condensed fragments. It's not as true anymore.
And that's why it was so easy for AI to change. Like the adoption of AI search was so fast because it's more how we like it's an actual thought process. Like you can word vomit your question and the system will give you pretty good results. It has a very good, I love that it's taking from, oh gosh, I don't even remember who said this, but I was at a conference recently and they were talking about like how much information the system is taking from Reddit because Reddit has such good and in-depth conversations, especially of like product listings and like actual reviews and how people, it's not just the reviews of like, you got paid for this review. It's the review of like, did this work 6 months later? So the people are you really getting like some very, very, very good in-depth information. So I love that. And I do think we need to speak more on the unique people that are going to use our products. And people are still thinking of their stuff as like, oh, well, I sell black shoes and not the like non-leather. Maybe you have the leather allergy or like you can't use cotton and there's no cotton in the shoe. Like we need those all need to be there. And I've actually started to move away from using, it's not that we don't do blog posts, but we really are focusing more on the sales pages because we are seeing more clicks from those. We'll do key blog posts, but it's really, really about getting super in-depth on the product pages, on the service pages, and making sure that we're not just explaining. It used to be like eight bullets. It's now really like, what are the
Each
benefits
bullet
for
needs
different
its own
types
page.
of people? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like a like exploding the amount of content, but in a much more thorough, I have cannot tell you how many audits I have done where I'm literally asking myself, or sometimes literally asking the client, look at this text on this page. What would you say you do here based off of what you've actually said? We're fantastic at delivering results. We're fantastic. We're incredible at customer service. Okay, well, you described both a sign recreation service, like rebranding for restaurants, and you've also described the restaurant. And you've also described a server, and you've also described, literally any service-based business. Did you actually say what you did in a meaningful way, support it with any sort of evidence, citation, quote, testimonial, or did you just go with your, I've got a picture and a blurb of success?
Like asking my clients to start leaving notes on their desk, or if they're like front-facing service-based, have a little notebook. What are the questions people are asking you that you are answering every day? Or when you have like a sales call, what are the five things that you say every single sales call that you're like, this is going to convert them? Because a lot of the times when I ask them just point blank, they're like, oh, there's these five things, because that's what they have in their head is like, these are the important things we're supposed to do. But I really want that, like, when you're talking to somebody, how do you sell this service? And I find the notes really help, because then all of a sudden they're getting out of their head, out of their sales training, and into the like, what's actually going to convert them? And those pieces are going to give me better content than anything else that they could, you know, the company is going to give me as like a cut and dry. Yeah, these are the five things we do that could be for anybody else. Like, Google needs more than that. All of the systems need more than that. We can't just give them, it can't be cookie cutter anymore. It really can't. And I've also started kind of working in some opinion-based content, which I think is going to become really important. Like that, like hard stand that you have, you know, if you go back to the shoe example for a second, like we make our shoes recyclable because we're tired of X, Y, and Z. Like those are things we've always kind of put, you know, as marketing material, but now you really need to come ahead. Like, why do you believe that? What's the ethos of that whole idea? And then use that as further content. Because if someone's looking for like sustainable X, Y, and Z, it can't just say sustainable anymore. It needs to be like, because I had a client who was like, we're sustainable. I was like, well, how? And they're like, well, we use less cotton, or I think they used like 2% recycled material. And I was like, we need more than that. Like, we need to explain, like, what are you doing next? Are you also working on your packaging? Like, those are the things that when people are going to be asking ChatGPT or even the long-winded questions, they want better responses like that.
There's a treasure trove in every customer support log. If you have those emails from your sales team, mine them. So send them into GPT and find out what were the objections and how did the salesperson overcome them or not. You know, you can even find product or service errors that you can help fix your business by taking the marketing model of what worked, you know, or what went wrong. You know, that's the customer support tickets or customer support emails or the complaints, or, you know, what were the friction points in the sales conversation? It's just a lot of SEOs are like, I can do SEO. Let me pull up SEMrush. No, bad SEO. No, start with the conversation. See if you can get an interview, record that passionate, you know, a team leader, record the CEO talking about it, record the salesperson who's really good at pitching and delivering, like record those, because those human conversations are always far more in depth than that email of where they spent 4 weeks. Okay, I got to get Jeremy some information to put on our about page. They went through that and then they distilled it and gave you crap. Mm-hmm. They give you nothing to really work with. So yeah, go have a conversation, record it, or go mine the actual emails. There's so much, there's gold in them thar hills.
Yep.
So to kind of wrap up the conversation, what do you think is the biggest needle mover right now? What's the blockbuster? Is there, you know, like a linchpin element of your campaign that you're always super focused on when you kick off? What's the deliverable you're looking to first bring home first?
So my personal favorite, and this is something we do for everyone, and I know most people kind of do this, but we do a very like, I call it a strategy, but it's essentially like a content plan. And when we do our content plan, we really integrate the other pieces. So when I interview my new client and say like, what platforms are you on? When we're doing the content plan, we also think of those other platforms. So if we're doing the categories for the blog, if we're doing like the next steps of content, we also put into place, like, what are you going to need? How do we kind of make sure that you're talking about the same thing in every area of your business? Because when it comes SEO, like it's gonna get more and more important. And it's not just about the LLM. It's about social media. It's about like where you're showing up. How are you talking about your services? Are you actually saying that you have these services? Because a lot of like, I've seen so many where you go to their social media and it's like, you know, they have that one main keyword at the top, but like none of their posts have ever said their service ever. So it's really about connecting those pieces. And then we always do how can we make the service pages better first? Or when it comes to e-com, how do we make the product pages better first? We always start there, because if you're going to get a click and it's going to be worth money, that's where it's going. It's really great to add more. There's a lot of like content gapping that I could go through. I love all that stuff. I love going to like competitor research is my absolute favorite task out of all of the strategies that we do. I love stealing or like different industry ideas too, like supplementary industries, like stealing their ideas. Those are great. But when it comes down to like when we're done the strategy and we've connected all the pieces, we always go to product pages and service pages first. I've never seen a business where there isn't room to improve. And a lot of them really are doing exactly what you said, that whole cookie cutter, like giving you the most basic information. And there is so much you can add there. And then are we missing service pages? Because every single service should have a page. And there's a lot of like, I love floating service pages. And a lot of businesses are like, oh, no, we can't do that. But like if you have, you know, back to your leather allergy, like shoes for people who have leather allergies, like that can be a page too. We don't have to just like sit in this, like it should only have this one line here. Like you're right, they should all be their own pages. So we really, really focus on that. And I do think that's where the needle movers are. As we get less content coming off of search platforms, it's really just like once they found you and they know what they want, how do you convert that sale? Or make sure that when they come off of one platform and go to another, how do they find the information that they need?
I love it. I give a shout out where people can find you if you're on a particular social media channel, and if you're doing have any downloadables, deliverables, ebooks, conferences, or giveaways that you're working on right now.
Yes. So you can always find me on Instagram. I'm millennial. I'm pretty heavy on Instagram at SMB Marketing School. You can also find us at smbmarketingschool.com. I do have a very, very cool summit coming up in January. It's January 20. It is called the Funnel Summit. It is going to be pretty epic. And it's essentially 8 speakers talking on different parts of the funnel to help small businesses figure out how to kind of take the next step on each part of their, especially with the new like merry-go-round style funnel we've got going on in the digital space right now.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time, Tiana.
Thank you.